If you have your Bibles, let's open them to two passages tonight for a moment. Let's look in Proverbs 24, if you have that. Proverbs 24, and we'll look down in verse number 21 this evening. Proverbs 24, let me see. How many softball players you think you'll probably be at the end of the month? You think you'll be at that picnic hitting a softball or watching someone get injured hitting the softball, all right? How many of you are the golfers? I mean, you live and breathe from May to May where we play golf as a church. All right. You know who the best golfer in our church is? It's a girl. It really is. Where's Sakaro? Is Sakaro here tonight? What's her daughter's name? Yeah, that's right. Sophia. Sophia is the top golfer in our church. And I think she's going into seventh grade. So Tiger Woods has given her private lessons online or something anyway. So here we are. We're in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. And my wife is in Long Beach tonight with the grandchildren. And so they're having Dr. George Crabb speak. He is the staff member at Brother Chapel's. He heads up their counseling ministry, their mental health. And so it's Mental Health Sunday. So I texted her. I said, "How's Psycho Sunday going?" She goes, "It's not Psycho Sunday." And I said, "Is it Mental Illness Month?" She said, "No, it's not. It's Mental Health. How to have better mental health." And so we'll be having one of those here too. So look down at these two passages just for a moment. We're going to speak on the subject of this, gaining security in an insecure world. Gaining security in an insecure world. Look down here, please, in chapter 24, and looking down into verse number 21, just two verses, 24, 21, Solomon says to his son, "My son, fear thou the Lord," or "respect thou the Lord and the king." And then notice the commandment, "and meddle not with them that are given to change." Them that are given to change. They're always changing. There's two types of change. There's change for the better. That's the change, the transformation God does when we get saved and he's sanctifying and we're growing in grace. Some change is not good. Several administrations ago, we had a president, and he came in with the word, "America needs change." And he did change America for the worse. And not all change is good. So he said, "Meddle not with them that are given to change." And then one other verse in Romans chapter 1, please. And Romans chapter 1, and we have the list of sins of a nation when it's going downward. Romans chapter 1, as a nation is going downward. And notice it starts, it says, Romans 1:21, "Because they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful." And so it's down, down, down. And then look in verse number 26. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." And you could write the word homosexuality, lesbianism there. "For even their women," he's saying, I understand a man being a pervert, but he says, "for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." So we have in Proverbs, he says, "Meddle not with those given to change." And then we have here in Romans, it says, even women were changed in their affection. And so not all change is good. What causes insecurity? Here's what it is. Change. Change causes insecurity. We're going to talk a little bit about that, how to handle change, what we can do to be secure, how we can give security to others. Let's pray. Father, bless this time we have. Just a little bit of time, but a great thought, great truth. Help us, Lord, to feel secure in this world that's constantly changing. Help it not upset our apple cart. Help it not to move us. I love the song, I shall not be moved. In the book of Psalms, it says, and they shall never be moved. I pray you'd help us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Our country has changed. You that have lived very long have realized and noticed it is not the same country that we grew up in. When I was in third grade, I remember the teacher opening the Bible every day. They would read a chapter of the Bible in class, public school, every day to begin the day. When I was a kid, I still remember when we had the Pledge of Allegiance, they would all stand and put their hands on their heart. They did not kneel. I still remember when they played the national anthem. Everyone at the sports event, everybody, even the players that were not being paid $280 million, even the players stood and gave honor to our nation. Our nation has changed. We've legalized abortion. We've legalized the gay agenda. We've kicked the Bible out of our public education systems, even though our taxes have paid for the education. We've legalized the drugs that law enforcement risked their lives to keep off the streets. Now we sell them in stores all over our nation. Our nation's changed. Our government's changed. It's gone more liberal. Church attendance is down. Churches have shut down. We've got idols all over our nation. No sports figure, and I don't see it in the Bible, I'm just saying it. No sports figure deserves $280 million to kick or throw a pigskin, no matter how good they are. Pay our police officers that much. Pay our military that much to dodge a bullet, but not someone who can throw a three-pointer and get a lot of them in order and go to church and still cuss like a sailor on the court. Anyway, it's just kind of coming out tonight. I don't know what happened to me. And so our country's changed. And we've put security in the government. We've put our security in Social Security. We've put our security in a political party. And that's not where we're going to get real security right there. Our world has changed. My world has changed. Your world has changed. My father-in-law passed away this past year. I no longer have a father-in-law on earth. My mother went to heaven 2 years ago. I don't have a mom to call on Mother's Day in a couple of weeks, a Sunday. My dad passed away 9 years ago. I don't have a dad to call on Father's Day. He's in my phone three different times, and I can't take myself to erase his number because I still love him and I still miss him every day of my life. I wish I could pick up the phone and say, Dad, I need a little advice about something. Not there to call. I got three pastors that have now passed away. Billy Reed, who started Central Baptist Church, where I got saved, he's in heaven. Brother Hiles, where I got my training, he's passed away. Brother Buchanan, who I worked for on staff for 7 years, he's passed away. A lot of things have changed in my world. I remember some of our guest speakers. I remember Wally Beebe, Mr. Bus Ministry, who came here. I was here 6 weeks, and he called and said, I'm passing through town. And I said, I don't have a motel room for you. We don't have any money. I can't take you out to eat. We don't have any money. You can stay at our house. He said, that's fine. He said, I'll come and speak. And he stayed at our house. I still remember Faith just walked into his room. Didn't even knock. Just walked into his room. And he said, do you have anything to drink? I said, water. He said, just a minute. He ran upstairs. He had a soda. He had an orange soda in his briefcase. He says, I'm always ready. Do you have any ice? I said, no. He said, I always like them just lukewarm. That's how I like my soda. And he said, let's go eat. We went to Wendy's. I didn't have a dime. He said, I loved your treat. And he paid for the meal. He's in heaven now. He's the one. He looked at our buildings and our property. He says, I don't even know if it can be done here. He's in heaven now. I think of A.D. Hampton, the old Marine that pastored in Barstow, California, the armpit of America. No one goes to Barstow. It's kind of on the way. It's kind of like the Baptist Purgatory or something. I don't know. But he was a faithful man, turned out some preachers from there. But he dressed up in his dress blues and as a 75-year-old man preached up a storm here. He's in heaven now. Some things have changed. Wally Davis, who was on staff at North Valley, preached our camp, preached our married couples getaway, preached here. I still remember we had a Valentine's banquet at Trankus Steakhouse, and they had a little division. It wasn't a separate room, but it was a banquet. I said, Brother Davis, there's other customers here, and so they're eating, so we'll just kind of hold it down. Yeah, I got it. Well, man, he got wound up. And I mean, the restaurant's full of people eating. He said, the Bible says adultery is wrong. and he named every sin that there was, and people just dropped their forks. It was like he's preaching in a restaurant. I'll never forget that. He's in heaven now. We got a lot of guest speakers that have now passed away, going to heaven. We've got missionaries that are now in heaven. My world is different. People die. Over 500 funerals. People backslide. People drop out. People move. Everything changes. Our world is constantly changing. Our government's changing. Our world is changing. I'm going to say this. Fads are changing. I still remember as a teenager, and some of you are older than me. Well, most of you are older than me. But I still remember when the hula hoops came out. The hula hoops. I still remember is it Mouseketeers? Who was that singing? Who was that? The Chipmunks singing, and I need a hula hoop for Christmas. I still remember the Slinky commercial. The Slinkies. Some of you say I have no idea what that's talking about. Yeah, you do. You're lying. I still remember the Slinkies. I remember the little 8-ball. Shake it. Find out your future. I still remember the bell bottoms. My brother, first one to wear bell bottoms in our city. Big old long pants legs. People laughed at him. He said, the whole city will be wearing them soon. And he was right. The bell bottoms came in. Then the chokers came in. And then the penny loafers. You remember the shoes? And you'd put a penny in that little slit. And that meant you were cool. If you were rich, you put a quarter in them. And so I never had penny loafers. And we didn't do that. I remember, Brother Chris, when the bow ties were in style. You know, they've been out of style so many years. But I remember when they were in style and they came out for a brief period, maybe just a couple months. And then, you know, they've been out of style for decades. And I remember that. Fads change. People come in, oh, I've got to have that. Hey, if you'll hang on to everything you have, it'll come back in style. Just hang on to those wild-looking pants and wild-looking plaid. Hang on. It'll come back into style. We think of our lives changing. Changes in our lives cause insecurity. You ever move? I remember when I moved here. I didn't know one person. Met Brother Steve once. Met his brother once. I pulled into town. I felt like everyone was staring at me. So insecure. We had two bathrooms in the church. Both of them said ladies on them. I was wondering what kind of church I took over. They had a ladies' night, and they relabeled both bathrooms so the ladies could use either bathroom. And no one told me this. I had to go home to use the restroom. I had to drive all the way home. Just insecure. Didn't know anybody. Everything was new. I think of some people in the Bible that could have been insecure. I think of Joseph. He's a slave. He's now owned by someone. He's left his father's house. He's having to serve a different master. Talk about insecurity, but here's what the Bible says. But God was with him. And that goes throughout his life. That's the pattern. Where do you get security? I just want to say this. You get it from God. God never changes. We'll give you scriptures in a moment. But Malachi says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. People change, fads change, churches may change, people's beliefs may change, history may change, but God never changes. Joseph, he was a prosperous man. I think of Job. We spoke about him this morning. Everything changed in a day. He went from rich to poor in 24 hours. He went from being a father to having no children in 24 hours. He went from happily married to miserably married. In 24 hours, everything changed. But he still said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, I still know some things. The one I've been leaning on, like the song says, I'm still leaning on and he's not changed. Where do we get security? I think of David. You need not turn there. But in Psalm 62 verse 1, David says this twice. He alone is my rock. He alone is my rock. Those of you that have been to Israel, you see rocks everywhere. You don't have to buy rocks in Israel. You're on the tour bus and here's hills and here's mountains and there's boulders and there's rocks everywhere. But what David was saying, he was saying, he alone. See that big rock? See that mountain? It's never going to move. He said, that's how my God is. He said, he alone is my rock. David had security. Take your Bibles for just a second, and let's turn to Psalms chapter number 90, just for a second. We're going to get you out of here right on time or early. Psalm chapter 90, want to give you this for a second. We're hurrying. How to be a secure person in an insecure world. How to be a secure person. How do you get that security? What do you do when everything's changing? Psalm 90 verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. Look at this. In all generations. Lord, you're the one I've just been hanging around. I live next to you. Verse 2. Before the mountains were ever brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He says, you've been here forever. Sure, you give us security. Psalm chapter 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee. Now the ladies sing this song so beautifully, with his feathers. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Just like when a weasel or a fox comes around and a mother hen sees its chicks, those little chicks run under her and she protects them. We run under the wings of God and we are secure. What is security? It means freedom from fear, freedom from danger, freedom from anxiety or worry. David had security. Not only that, but if you turn to Matthew, and I think this will be the last verse I'll make us turn to or ask you to, Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and it says, looking down in verse 24, and it's talking about the wise man building his house, and the rock, of course, is Jesus Christ. The rock, that solid foundation, is God's word. Notice what he says, Matthew 7, 24, therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He dug deep till he hit a foundation, something sure, something that didn't move. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. What was it? He had security. He had security. God never changed. You say, Pastor, what did we build our lives on to have security? Here they are. Number one, God himself. The Bible says, but thou art the same. Hebrews 1:12. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, here's the key word, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. John 8:25. The Bible says, who art thou? And Jesus said, the same. The same. They said, who are you, Jesus? Here's how I answer. The same. The same. He never changes. He doesn't love us one day and hate us the next. He doesn't save us one day and lose us the next. He's just always the same. I love that. You say, where do you get security? You get it from God. And it begins, if you're listening online and you've never been saved, it begins with a know-so salvation. We can know it. I don't know how many churches and how many people teach. Well, you got to hang on. You got to endure to the end. You have to live right. You got to keep the faith. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16 shall have everlasting life. If you can lose it, you never had it. He says, he is in my hand, John chapter 10, and no man is able to pluck you out of my hand. That means no man, you as a man or you as a woman, you can't wiggle out of his hand. His grip don't slip. You're saved forever. You're saved forever. That's where security comes from. Pillowing our head at night, knowing if a nuclear bomb lands on Napa. By the way, they won't bomb Napa. We have the wine. And if they're going to have peace talks, they have to leave Napa alone. You're pretty safe here. Now, there's a lot of cities in America I wouldn't live in. But Napa's the safest. I'm just cutting up, of course. God's the same. Number two, his word is the same. His word is the same. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, let me just encourage you here for a moment. And we're not going to belabor the point. But why would someone spend 10 years of their life changing this book to be a little bit easier to understand? Do Do you really think they're burden for people to understand God's word better? The King James Version Bible, the average letter is 5 letters long. It's written with a 5th grade level of education. That's why they made the TV show after the Bible, Smarter Than a 5th Grader. It came from the Bible. Is anybody listening? Forget it. Go back to sleep. Turn your cell phone back on. Why would someone spend years of their life trying to make it easier? I'll tell you why. I'll show you why. Ford had his cars, so pretty soon Chevrolet wanted to have a little competition. And soon Plymouth and Chrysler and all these, why? Get in on the market. If it's just one Bible, you put another one out pretty soon, someone's going to buy it. That's just my thoughts here for you tonight. His word's always the same. We don't need to rewrite it. We need to reread it. Amen. It's settled in heaven. His word is pure. John 1:1. In the beginning, God calls Jesus the word. It's always been. God gives us security. Number two, his word gives us security. It's always the same. Number three, the gospel gives us security. Amen. Revelation 14:6, it says, they will preach the everlasting gospel. Everlasting gospel. Be careful about the YouTube preachers, those who've never won a soul, never built a church, but they sure are good at teaching on the internet. Be careful of those people. They're going to come up with different salvations. Well, there's different aids and different dispensations and there's 7 different ways to get saved and that maybe God picks who gets saved and you're predestined and you don't have a choice and soul winning doesn't work. And why do we have, you're going to have to be careful. There's an everlasting gospel. It's always been the same. The gospel started from the foundations of the earth, the good news. When man sinned, there would be a savior. Genesis 3:15. He's going to come. He's going to stomp on the devil's head. He's going to bruise his heel. That was prophesied thousands of years ago. The gospel's always been the same. It's grace and faith in Jesus Christ alone. His death, burial, and resurrection, plus works, minus, no works at all. Just his finished work. It's just one salvation. It'll be the same gospel preached during the tribulation. When Jesus comes and takes us to heaven and the lost people are left behind, the 2 witnesses in Jerusalem will preach the gospel, how to get saved. It'll be the old story that I've loved so long. We don't need a new gospel. The old gospel has worked and changed lives for thousands of years. Be careful about someone with a new little spin on the gospel, or here's something else you got to know, or you got to speak in tongues or baptize only in Jesus' name. It's just all this newfangled stuff. Be careful about that. What gives you security? The more those 3 are intertwined in your life, spending time with God, spending time in His Word, sharing the everlasting gospel, you'll feel secure. Amen. You'll feel secure. Now I want to say this for a moment, just part 2. How do you give security to others? Every parent needs to give security to their children. Every mate during trials needs to give security to their mate. A pastor, when his people are hurting, needs to give security to the people. A president, when they take over as president, ought to try to give security to a nation. How do you do that? We have no security apart from God, but let me give you some practical thoughts here just for a moment. Number 1, be the same. Amen. It's your duty not to be moody, even if your first name is Dwight Lyman. You want to be the same. I know. Husband came home from work one day. His wife greeted him at the door. He grabbed her by the shoulder, shook her a little bit, and said, "Which one are you today?" Amen. We just want to work at being the same. If we're not careful, our personality, we're way up, we're way down. We're emotional, we're happy one day, we're moody the next. We're angry one day, we're spiritual one day, we're backslidden one day. The more we hang around the one who is the same, the more it's going to make us the same. It gives security. It gives security to our kids. It gives security in our church. Just level, steady Eddie, if you will. I love what Paul said. It said in Galatians 2, I think it's verse 9. He had not met all the other apostles. But it said when he met them, I believe it was in Jerusalem, he says, and when I saw Cephas, or Peter, and James and John, he said this, I perceived that they were pillars. I perceived that they were pillars. They didn't have little labels, we're the leaders of the church. They didn't have a name badge. They didn't have a lanyard around their neck. They didn't have a seat embroidered. Paul just came to church and he looked around. And he said, I perceive those three guys are pillars of this church. You know what a pillar does? A pillar stands. You know what and I'm not talking about this kind of pillar. Somebody said, I wish I had a pillar right now. That's pillow. But a pillar, it stands. A pillar, guess what it does? It supports. A pillar is never made for aesthetics. Oh, what a beautiful pillar. I wish I had that one at my... No, it's to hold some weight up. Carry a burden. What's a pillar do? It stays. You go to Rome and say, wow, look at this great pillar here built a 1000 B.C. Go back next year. It'll still be there. No one's going to steal it. Still going to be there. We shall be planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water. We ought to be like a tree, not a tumbleweed. We ought to be like a pillar, not just something that blows away. You want to be the same. Number two, you want to be the same in your belief. Well, I just happen to believe such and such. Well, you've changed. So were you wrong back then or you're wrong right now? Well, I happen to believe nothing's wrong with such and such. Well, you used to believe something was wrong with it, so are you wrong now? Or are you wrong, were you wrong back then? When you start changing, you have some explanation, to give concerning what your belief is. You want to be the same. Years ago, someone came to me and they were asking something about being in the choir, and I said, here's the leadership requirements if you're going to be in the choir. We've had these for over 35 years, and here it is, same for everybody. And here's what the person said. They pointed at me and said, you have no bend in you. And I said, thank you. Thank you. They just figured we were going to bend some things and make an exception. No, this has always been the standard. If you're going to sing in the choir, be the example. Here's the standard. And you have no bend in you. You want to be someone that your beliefs don't change. Your beliefs don't change. Number three, I want to say this. How do you give security? Have a church that doesn't change. Now, we're not talking about never changing the carpet. We're not talking about padded pews. We're not talking about painting the bus. We're not talking about pulling up carpet, putting in flooring. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about direction, emphasis, belief. Amen. You know what happens, and you'll only see it if you stay in church a long time. It'll be people be on fire for the Lord. They'll serve. Something happens. They get discouraged. They get disillusioned. Someone disappoints them. Soon, less and less church. Soon, they're out of church. Soon, no Bible. Soon, no prayer. Soon, they fall back into the old lifestyle. They get in trouble. They have some hurts. They start some reaping, and problems come, and finally, they come back to church. By the way, we're always glad when they come back. We're always glad. We never card, hey, where you been? What you been doing? How come? It's none of our business. Someone tried to explain, maybe 10 years ago, been out in the world for years, and I knew it took all the courage they had to walk back in the lobby. As soon as they walked in, I says, hey! And the man said, let me explain. I said, are you back? He said, I'm back. I just hugged him. I said, no explanation needed. Welcome home. Welcome home. I'm glad he had a home to come back to. I'm glad when he came back, we weren't serving nickel beer in the lobby. And the pastor didn't have a ponytail down to his waist. And his shirt wasn't unbuttoned. And he didn't have three earrings in that ear. And he didn't have a what do you call it? It's not smoking, but you're smoking. But it's in a little machine or something. Vaping. Or the pastor didn't have a vaping machine in his pocket. And he was still married to the same woman. And still had a Bible. Some things, it gives security. It just gives security. People come in here and here's what they do. You'll see it. They've been gone a long time. Here's what they do. They sit down, they start looking. Well, so-and-so usually sits there. And such family usually sits there. And Brother Steve is always right here. You know what they're doing? They're looking for people they remembered. You know what it gives them? Security. Out soul winning this week, I heard this. Is Brother Steve still there? I heard this. Is Miss Lincoln still there? I heard this. Is Brother Birdo still there? I heard all those things. And I'm glad I could say, sometimes I'll mess with them. I'll say, you didn't hear? No, what happened? And I'll say, they're still there. Security. Number next quickly. Security is being in your own place. Daniel chapter 5 verse 12. Here's what it says. This same Daniel. That's how God describes him in the book of Daniel. Who's Daniel? God says, I'll tell you who he is. The same Daniel. The same Daniel that was in chapter 1. He's the same Daniel in chapter 5. Thank God for that. He was still standing and still doing right. Be in your place. And I want to say this. We're out of time. Outlast your battles. Outlast your battles. You're going to have some battle. Financial battles. Getting out of debt. Addiction battles. Getting off some substance. Mental battles, straightening up a negative attitude, maybe filthy mouth battles, just curse words and cleaning up your words and cleaning up your heart. There's going to be battles. Someone sent me a lengthy text. Hadn't seen this person in years and years. Know what it was? An apology. Please forgive me. I beg your forgiveness. I've been so wicked, so evil. I'm so sorry. Would you please find it in your heart? You know what? I didn't say it's about time. Where you been? Are you in hell yet? No, I didn't say that. You know, I just hope the person is going to be blessed by the Lord and God will use them. You know, if you just hang in there, a lot of things have fallen into place in your life. The same security. The reason some of you struggle with insecurities is you're not hanging around the one and the book and the gospel that gives you security. And I want to say this too. We that come here regularly to church, let's be that security for others. They're going to go through some struggles and sometimes they're going to get a little bit wobbly and wondering if they're going to make it. We want to be their security. I texted Brother Trevor today, and you think, well, he's at the pastor of this Lord's church. He doesn't need any friends, really. I needed some friends when my wife was in the hospital. I needed some texts when she was in the hospital. I just texted him. I've been there. I love you. Praying for you. That was it. He texted back. I won't tell you what he said. Real encouraging. Let's be the security that people need. Our city needs it. Let's give them the answers. Let them watch us and say there's something special about them. They've got security. And that's where you get it.